Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Come Along Ponder Doctor Who Discussion Podcast with your two sometimes best, sometimes not so great friends. It's me, it's Elliot, chuckling away politely at the joke there. Damn liar.
Yeah, me, laughing. Hello.
Laughing, as always, at me. How's it going?
It's going all right, it's going all right. Yeah. It's I haven't eaten yet today, so I'm hungry.
I trust me. I know.
I have a coffee running through my veins and that is it. So fucking hell, it's going to be a time.
Well, that probably means we'll have to break for a wee.
Yeah, probably.
Great.
You guys don't see it because I edit it out, but I break for wees all the time.
It would be it'd be really funny if you didn't edit it out. If it was just like silence while I'm sat here kind of going like... just gonna go on my phone waiting for you to come back,
and I'm back and I'm like, oh, that's better. Anyway, let's go.
Oh, I had a massive piss.
Just a big fat piss. Anyway, you all right, babe?
Yeah, just doing some product placement there.
Elliot's drinking a monster if you're not on the visual medium, which is on Patreon.
Patreon.com/comealongpodcast.
We have to plug it every time, right up top, so people know.
Help me buy Cads a monster and help us get a monster sponsorship. Monstership, thank you.
A monstership. Yeah,
that's what I've got coursing through my veins instead of coffee. Coffee's the white girl choice. This is the choice of guys who are called Kyle.
It's true. No. Anyway, you good?
I'm fine. I am absolutely fine. Had another cold, but we're fine. everything's going all right.
But before we rattle on any further, babe.
Oh yeah.
Have you got your sack ready?
It may be a day for mothers, but I've got my sack out. Let's have a look.
Let's have a wee look.
Oh, our first email goes as follows. Hi, Daniel and Elliot. Hope you're both having a great, insert whatever day it is when you're reading this, Sunday.
Actually a Sunday.
Sunday. Isn't that a coincidence?
Oh, yeah.
I found your podcast fairly recently, although it wasn't via TikTok.
Hey!
I had to mention that as I'm a what? Pick me. I've almost caught up, which means I'll no longer be able to listen to a constant stream of you both whenever I'm driving or walking my dog.
Aww.
Or driving my dog, I suppose, maybe, or doing housework. That was just for me, which is sad.
That is sad.
Yeah, although I don't know, freedom. I'm reading the writer's tale at the moment. I was horrified to discover that RTD wanted to do an episode about J.K. Rowling, starring J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Remember when we all thought that J.K. Rowling was a good egg? What a time. Yeah, what a terrible time. You know, but at least, to be fair, they had ignorance on their side. Anyway, I therefore wanted to ask for the pod, what famous person from either past or present would you like to see in a Doctor Who episode centred around? I'd love to see one with Louis Theroux. He's doing a documentary about something weird which turns out to be alien. Give it to me. P.S. How old is it that we literally have a Doctor Who episode with Hitler in it? I mean,
that is mad.
You say that, it's not literal Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, there are these things called actors, and what they do, they perform roles. lots
joking,
of love
kidding.
From Hannah. She, her. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah. So yeah, we've answered something similar like this before. I said Anne Boleyn.
Yeah. I think we did like historical figures. I want to go like, we need like a pop cultural celebrity. I don't know. We've already got the Beatles coming up.
Yes.
Spoiler. I don't know. Unrelated, but based on a chat that we had off mic, just give me Alison Hammond as like a companion.
Yeah, please. Please do. Please do. That'd be so
make
fun.
Alison Hammond the Doctor. And let her laugh. Her laugh.
Do it, you coward.
Yeah, thank you for that, Hannah. Our next email goes as follows. Hi there, you beautiful bastards.
Iconic.
That's what we are. Just thought I'd throw in a little thank you. This podcast has quickly shot up one of my favourites after finding you guys on Instagram Reels.
Yes.
Your relaxing yet excitable energy gives me a feeling of sitting with friends and chatting up a storm about something we love. Though sadly, Doctor Who is an interest that eludes my close friends. Are they really your friends?
Yeah, exactly.
As a resident Scot, I'm excited to hear a Scottish accent attempt aplenty when Amy arrives on the pod. You say excited. We've all heard Dan was Australian.
Oh god.
And the thing is, as well, is that I'm, you know, my voice is my tool. And actually, I don't do a terrible Scottish accent.
Yeah.
But I would just do my joking one because I get nervous. Also, this might probably cue you into why I picked this one. Also, Elliot, your opinions on the best episodes of the series are correct, and I accept no alternatives. There we are.
Fair.
He does say just kidding, Damla, but we'll omit that.
Particularly
the Impossible Planet 2-parter at midnight being my true faves. I can't wait to hear you guys' commentary on the perfectly represented mob mentality that occurs in confined spaces of the midnight Torcroft. As a sociology and psychology student, this always fascinates me. Anyway, before I let the email drag on a million more years, I'll end with a little question for the two of you. If you were to have three seasons as a Doctor, much like the new Doctor Who's have had three seasons in their run, what would you choose as the villains for the first, second and third season finales? For me, I'd have the Daleks, the Master, and finally, some kind of ancient entity such as Sutek or the Devil from the Satan Pit. That's very self-indulgent, big monologues, and serving energy. Awesome. Keep slaying, and you guys are bringing so many of us Doctor Who fans joy and a newfound love for the show. That touched yours and all of our lives. Love and smooches from Jacob. Thank you, Jacob.
Jacob, that is such a gorgeous email. Thank you so much. That's really sweet. Really sweet.
It is lovely.
Wonderful question as well. I mean, come
beautiful
on.
Beautiful question.
Easy for me. I'd say my first series, I'd want the Daleks because I'm basic as fuck. The second, I think... I'd want something a little bit different, a little bit rogue. I think I'd have the Vashta Narada, honestly. Like, I think that'd be really interesting. Cancelled. The second would be the Not Things, again. Because I love them so much. And then the third one would be Weeping Angels. Go out with a bang. I want to regenerate with a bang. I want to regenerate in the past. And then I've got to find my way into the future as the new Doctor.
Exciting.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't have a particular order that I want them to go in, but I think a healthy mix of Dalek, Cybermen, Sontarans.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, bam. Gorgeous. Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Jacob.
But honestly, I could also just do like Daleks, Daleks, Daleks.
And a bit more Daleks. Little ones.
Yeah.
And little baby ones. Little baby Daleks. Little babies.
Yeah. Russell did, and they were all good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Woo.
Daleks, Daleks. Oh, the Master. And Daleks.
Yeah. So. Iconic from start to finish.
Absolutely. And our final email goes as follows. They say hiya. Hiya. Don't
hiya.
Hiya. You don't hear hiya. Hiya. I love that. And it will become apparent why I'm reading this, because they then say, season 4 of New Who is my favourite.
Hey.
And we're back. We're back on track, baby.
Oh, season finally.
4. Yeah. Also, they don't sign the email off, so I feel like I should probably stop saying this. Comes from a lovely listener called Alice. And it goes as follows. I remember sleeping over at my grandma's house as a kid. I was sleeping on the floor in the bedroom and I heard this really loud buzzing noise and I was absolutely terrified, thinking there was a giant wasp outside my window. See? I was silently weeping for hours in the dark, trying to keep quiet. And still, in hindsight, there was mostly like just my grandma snoring. I remember being a kid and being so scared to pull back the curtains after a shower, thinking there'd be a weeping angel in the bathroom.
Aww.
I know I'm laughing. Just laughing at your absolute sheer terror. and now, spoiler alert, I suppose, but we do, we read these emails each. And if I've read them and there's something particularly in it that takes me out, I will screenshot it and send it to Stella rather than letting her reading it organically.
Yeah.
And this next line took me out. I just feel like I need to give it the gravitas
that it deserves. Yeah.
Because just right in the middle of this email, apropos of nothing, Alice points out, if I could have my own sonic screwdriver, it would be rose gold with a pink light and a vape on the other end. which is... is one of the... I believe I read that at work and I just always fell over laughing.
Oh my God.
I honestly see the vision someone should make it. I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but you remind me both of the Mighty Boosh with all of your banter. Love the Mighty Boosh. Thank you. As a high compliment. Obviously, I'm Howard Moon.
Sure.
Also, this is great as well. Sorry, I just keep being like, oh, this is brilliant. Also, I don't often swear, but anyone who complains about Doctor Who turning too woke could fuck the fuck off. I love that New Who is representing trans people as well as including characters in wheelchairs. It's about damn time. I'm so excited for new Russell episodes. I love you two till the end of time. You're both amazing. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Alice.
Thanks, Alice.
We'll love you too. And please make that sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But also, guys, don't vape. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, I've swatted away those emails.
Oh, right. I see what you were doing.
Yeah. I wasn't doing anything. I just was stalling for time. But I swatted away those emails. And, you know, now let's dance around trying to talk about this episode as if a wasp that had got into a can of Coke on a hot summer's day.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. You know, buzz off. Buzz off.
Buzz off. Oh, I hate this episode so much, but I tell you what, I'm buzzing.
Hey!
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, as you may have been able to tell from the jokes up top, today we're feeling horny because we're talking about episode whatever of series 4 of Doctor Who. It's broadcast on the 17th of May 2008. It's called The Unicorn, The Wasp, directed by a bloody Graham Harper, and it's written by a terrible, awful transphobe, Gareth Roberts.
Fuck that guy! Fuck him!
I would say listen to our Shakespeare Code episode to hear us rag on the guy. Terrible man, and he blocked me on Twitter because I called him a bigoted thumb.
and you know what? No lies were mentioned. No lies were said. We hate him.
He was being weird with someone on Twitter about Yasmin Finney in the 60th anniversary, saying really vile, disgusting things, especially to a woman who is like, you know, not even in her 20s. And yeah, I just replied saying, "Who knew a thumb could be so bigoted?" And he blocked me. That's
your legacy. That's your legacy.
My legacy is getting blocked by Gareth Roberts. Yeah.
But yeah, basically, any merit to this episode, which is not a lot, spoiler, it's not going towards him in any way because he's a fucking c- But yeah, anyway, first of all, we're back. We're back on series four, finally.
What's, yeah, oh my God.
Can't believe it. Actually, can't believe it. It feels like 5 years.
And we may or may not get it done before the new series airs. Spoiler alert, we won't get it done.
Sorry.
Well, I did the number crunching. Yeah, sorry guys. If we stick to a bi-weekly schedule, which we don't have to if we get enough support on patreon.com/comingonpodcast.
Or get enough ratings on Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, or if you're a company who wants to reach out to us. we're going to have to interrupt midway through. But this all should come to an end with all the specials by December this year, according to my mathematics. So
we'll get there, guys. We'll get there.
I just think the people deserve to know.
The people do deserve to know. But anyway, before we go any further, Elliot, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is this. Because yes. I know what this episode's about, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb knows what it's about. Wikipedia knows what it's about. Google knows what it's about. But I don't care about any of that at all. Couldn't care less. Because I want to know, were you, Elliot, right there in front of me, my co-host of Come Along Pond, a podcast that only has bi-weekly episodes because we don't have enough money. Please support us. Elliot!
Come Along Pond podcast on Patreon. Sorry. Change the name of the show to patreon.com/comealongpodpodcast. Welcome to patreon.com/comealongpodpodcast, a Doctor Who discussion podcast.
Oh, show me the money!
Yeah. Show me the money! Yeah, by the way, our Ko-fi's working now, everybody. Sorry, yay! Just I should drop that in while we're talking about it. You can actually give us money.
That's so funny.
My fault.
The question is, what do you think this episode's about?
I think this strokes chin. I think this episode is a good lesson about how sometimes Doctor Who. Really, I mean, it should just stick with its premise, and I can't help but feel like this episode would just be better as a murder mystery. So don't just throw random monsters in there. Stop it.
Fair enough.
Basically, it's a cautionary tale about how if you're going to be a big old big-eared thumb, at least be talented.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think it's about?
I think this episode is about how not all priests can be Andrew Scott, and it's a shame. It's a real shame.
I have heard that. I've gone into a couple of churches, and they aren't always Andrew Scott.
Yeah, they're not. They're not always Andrew Scott, and I know that because mini anecdote incoming. I went to a graveyard for personal reasons, and I was with my partner.
Sorry.
No, wait. It's funny. It's funny.
It shows I don't know why I'm just pre-laughing at the word graveyard.
It shows how much Fleabag has, like, rotted my brain. I was having a little moment with my partner, shedding a little tear, and a priest went past, gently nodded his head, being like, you know, sympathies. He walked away, I'm still crying, and then I look at Joe, my partner, and just go, I just wink. Because I now have a priest fetish. Hell yeah. But not for
unhinged.
This one.
Yeah. But you know what, Damla? You know what?
What?
It will pass.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
I know Fleabag, everybody.
Wow! That was really rude. I'd probably need 5 working days to recover from that, but we don't have time.
I actually have a friend who looks like. A guy that's in, I actually use Fleabag as the reference. This guy is an actor. I couldn't remember the actor's name, but I have a friend who looks exactly like him, and I remember that he was in Fleabag. And then, weirdly enough, I did that, and I found this guy's face. I was like, "Oh my god, it looks exactly like him!"
Yeah,
he's in Fleabag. Look at this guy. And then you watched a short film with this actor in.
I did.
It's Hugh Skinner.
What's his name? Hugh Skinner. I love Hugh Skinner.
Yeah,
put Hugh Skinner in Doctor Who for God's sake. He'd be perfect.
I was more annoyed that I remembered him for being in Fleabag and not for being in Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Incredible movie.
Better than the first, I reckon. And he's in the Waterloo scene, which is so fun.
Which we may talk about at some point. Who knows? Oh, what?
What?
What? What's that? Never mind. No, whatever. Anyway, Unicorn and the Wasp. Unicorn and the Wasp. Now. I'm going to say something right off the bat. Here I go. If Catherine Tate wasn't in this episode, it would be nothing.
It would be one of the worst things ever done.
She carries this on her back. Has someone checked in on Catherine Tate because she carries this episode on her back?
Like, I know I said it up top, but I genuinely think if it was just a regular murder mystery, it
would
be
so
fun.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but we solve the murder mystery halfway through.
Yeah.
And we just go back to the big wasp.
The big fat wasp. Now, here's the thing. I actually want to say, so I think as you can tell probably already, dear listener, this episode isn't for us. It's not really for us. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's very good.
That's its main crime, though, in my opinion.
Yes.
I didn't watch it and go, God, I hate it, but it fucking bored me and I was not interested while I was watching it.
That's the thing, because for me personally, this episode has me for the first half. Genuinely, for the first half, I'm like, I'm on board. This is great. It's giving Midsummer Murder. It's giving camp Midsummer Murder, even though Midsummer Murder is kind of camp already, but even more.
Because a lot of the early jokes are very good. You know, the banter's there.
Yeah.
You know, I do get a chuckle out of, you know, Agatha Christie. What about her?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
It's funny. It's funny. It's good. It's good.
It's all good. You know, and I think, you know, I do love a really camp little murder mystery thing. Like, this is a really random reference because I actually have never seen Father Brown. Seen it. But I've seen the spin-off, Sister Boniface. Don't ask me how. But it reminded me of that. And it's a very fun little mini-series. If you love camp murder mysteries, go check it out. But it's very that. And
yeah, it's all very Death in Paradise, Shakespeare and Hathaway. Like, Sage and Onion, Rosemary and Thyme.
Yeah, love that shit. Love that shit.
Prawn and Cocktail, Shiver and Shake, Little and Large. I just, you know, they're all the same after a while.
And I was really, and I really wish they kind of leaned into that, you know?
You just, I know,
I'm
sorry,
ignoring
I'm
just ignoring you.
Yeah, I like that you were just going to allow me to keep going.
Yeah, I'm ignoring so, you.
You can carry over this whole episode. I'll just think of, like, you know,
other things. Fish and chips, cereal and milk.
Salt and vinegar. Salt and vinegar. Knife and fork.
Oh, no, I'm thinking. See, look, you're derailing me. My ADHD is really coming through.
Damlet and Elliot.
Damlet and Elliot. There we go. Yeah, that's it. Thank God that's over.
Smokey and bacon.
I have a fun fact I want to give about this episode, which I think is really cute and really, really sweet. So the fun fact is that David Tennant's dad's actually in this episode. He is an extra, plays a butler, very cute. Found out through Confidential, and I feel like people need to know that because that's fucking adorable.
Yeah.
Really, really cute.
Love that.
And so I want to talk about something really positive first because I think it's good to just be a little bit positive. And again, coming back to Catherine Tate. Catherine Tate, comedic genius, acting genius, a genius. I love her so much.
Yeah.
My favourite thing in this episode is that when I say I've never felt so seen in my life about how she acted in this, where it's like, I'm just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
That's me all the time.
Yeah. Go to a social event and immediately just, oh, what? Spiffing.
Exactly.
Tally-ho. Yeah.
And actually what I'm doing is standing out like a sore thumb. But then also another thing, and I'm jumping right into the second half here with this next comment, is when, so I love a gossip.
Mm-hmm.
I love a gossip because one, I'm Turkish and I'm allowed to say that because I'm Turkish. We love a gossip as Turkish people. We love it. Two, I am.
It's true.
I just love tea. When someone's like, oh my God, can I tell you something? I'm always just like, yes. Wait, let me sit down and let me get comfy. Tell me.
She's a nightmare for her.
I am a nightmare for it. And my favourite thing that she does in this is when they're all sitting at the end and she's going, so she killed her. So he killed her. Oh my God. So who is it? Oh my God. And then she's just eating popcorn or whatever it is that she's eating. So fucking funny. Was popcorn even invented back then?
I mean, I don't know.
It's funny.
I'll do some background research while you carry on.
But essentially what I want to say is I think she is literally the backbone of this episode. Without her, this would truly fall apart at the seams. It's so ridiculous how, like, she's genuinely carrying this whole thing on her shoulders.
The oldest definitive evidence for popping corn was discovered in New Mexico, United States, determined to be as early as 3,600 BC.
There we go.
Attributed to ancestral Puebloan peoples who maintained trade networks with people in tropical Mexico.
Brilliant. Amazing.
Yep.
Stunning. So there you go.
So yeah, probably. Look, I think the episode has one weird major flaw going for it, which has been only made a flaw with time, which is that now you watch it and you go, oh, Academy Award nominated, potentially won, Felicity Jones is in this. She's probably going to be the bad guy. At the time when you watched it on TV, who's Felicity Jones?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know her. Get her out of here. But now you're going to watch it and you're like, oh, it's probably her, isn't it? Because she's famous.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she is obviously a bad guy, but not in the way you think, which I actually quite liked. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that's quite
She's not the Wasp.
Yeah, she's not the Wasp.
She does the evil voice.
All right, Governor, it was me.
Fans of sketch show Mitchell and Webb will know about the evil voice. They do a Poirot parody, and he's like, I don't actually solve the crimes. I just point to people, and if they start doing the evil voice, then I know that they're the criminal. Because you'll just go, you did it, and then straight away they're like, yeah, I did it. I killed him, and who cares?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When she did the accent, it was very funny. Just like, it was me, slag.
Yeah. She has been being like, you know, oh, me? I couldn't possibly have done a murder. And they're like, I think you did. And she's like, oh, yeah, she's like a fair cop, Gavna.
Yeah.
Fucking shot the bastard.
It's so good, isn't it? It's, I actually love that. Very, very good.
Me too. It's a fun trope of
things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who done it? That's the word I was like.
Who
fun
done
it? Who done it?
Yeah, no, I actually like this ensemble. I think this ensemble is actually really strong.
It's a fun cast.
They're all really good in it. I also think, as much as I think Catherine Tate is the star of this episode, weirdly, I genuinely do think she is. That's my personal opinion. I do love, if I'm pronouncing her name wrong, I'm very sorry, but the woman who plays Agatha Christie, Fenella Woolgar, I think she's fantastic in this. She's really, really good. Mm. I really enjoyed her performance a lot. And I think she, you know, it's just very believable as Agatha Christie. I think it's one of the best castings of like a historical character in the show ever.
Yeah, she plays the role very well.
She does. And I also love the way she says things. Her voice is just really nice, which is a really good thing to say.
She's a really soothing presence throughout the episode.
100%. And I think also, I can't remember all of them, the actors' names. Go on IMDb if you care. But yeah, like, you know, the guy who...
I'll find them.
You find them. The guy who pretends that he's ill.
What, the old man?
Yeah, the old man, yeah.
Colonel Hugh.
Colonel
played
Hugh.
Played by Christopher Benjamin, probably. I reckon that's probably him.
There you go. He's quite funny.
Maybe.
Like, you know, you think he's reading in the library? No, he's looking at naughty things. But that's the thing. It's like when they play into that campness of like the flashback and the like, you know, it's so good. But then it just tries to. That's the issue, isn't it? Like you said, it's just trying to be too serious towards the end. And it's like,
It's too much all at once. You know, sometimes with this, you just got to let it go and have fun. And it's all just a bit boring, isn't it? And some of it's hard to take seriously.
Yeah, I just think.
In my opinion.
You've got a big wasp. Big wasp. Massive.
And I was gonna say, I don't mean big, I mean flipping massive.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping enormous, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if anyone is willing to give away their Vespa form that they made out of the collectible little figure pieces that you used to be able to get in the packets of things, let me know, because I'll happily take it off your hands, because that's cool.
Yeah. I don't have an equivalent. Maybe just a make of the Christie books, or I'll have a Vespa form as well.
Yeah, give me a little Vespa form, you know, buddy, little buddy. No, big
just
buddy.
Little guy.
Just a boy, just a boy. I do quite like that twist, actually, of the Vespa form. Like, again, it's very whodunit. Again, it's just, it doesn't, they don't go there.
It's because there's too many ideas. If it was like, it's a murder mystery, but the central mystery is that the murder's being done by an alien.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's like, you know, a murder mystery. Murder mystery has actually been done by an alien, but the alien's also involved in the disappearance of Agatha Christie, and Agatha Christie's there, and you also got the plot line running about the unicorn being a jewel thief, and it's all just a bit too. There's all just a bit too much going on.
Yeah, for this a 40-minute episode. Yeah,
refinement.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm glad it's only an episode.
But
you know, it's overstuffed with ideas.
It is, and something I actually wanted to say real quick before I forget is, you know, how big the Vespiform is, because it's big,
flipping massive,
and she says it's flipping enormous. I really, for a second, I always think this when I watch it, she's going to say fucking enormous, because it's the way she goes to say it.
Oh, you know she wanted to.
No, she fully wanted to. This episode, I was surprised that it wasn't written by Stephen Moffat, because it was low-key giving Hulock vibes. Like, a little bit of Sherlock, little bit of Doctor Who coming together. And obviously there's a lot of that later on in the series when Stephen does take over the snowman. But it was giving that a little bit. But it was quite fun. I did quite like it, you know, and the pointing of the finger.
Question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever read an Agatha Christie book?
I haven't. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Question for me.
Yeah.
Have you ever read an Agatha Christie book? No. Okay. I've not read one either.
so glad we got that out of the way. So... God, these, do you know what? Like this episode, my notes were a mess. I'm so sorry.
I mean, yeah, because it's supposed to just be going, oh, I don't like this.
Or, oh, that's fun. Or, actually, that's the thing. So bringing it back to the horny joke you made. Ha ha, horny, hornet, wasp.
Oh, no, I meant because the unicorn has a big horn. Yeah, like wasn't. Probably better with hornet, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's better. That's really what I thought you were going for. Mm. You fucked up there.
Well, you better, hey, wasp your language, right? Wasp your tone, young lady.
Christ. So, something that's horny in this episode is the whole ensemble. I love how horny they all are. It's very funny.
Mm. Yeah, we get some gay stuff in here.
Oh, so good. Always so good.
Yeah. Because I believe Gareth Roberts is gay.
Is he?
I believe he's one of those.
To be fair, some of the biggest transphobes in this world are also gay.
I believe he's one of those, gay man that hates his own, brethren.
Imagine hating your own community. What a fucking loser. Oh, what a dickhead, honestly.
Oh, dear God. Lord. What a sad little life, Jane.
What a sad little life, Jane. Truly. Truly.
You wrote Doctor Who. Get out of my house.
Take the money. Fuck off.
Fuck off. What a sad little life. Gareth.
Dickhead. Okay. back to the episode. truly, David and Catherine are on fire in this. And again, in all they of are. Series 4, they are.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, but what this episode specifically, it's just like, I was actually watching this with my mum, and even she was dying laughing at the bit where the doctor was poisoned.
Yeah, this is a good bit.
And it's the bit where it's like, you know, trying to mime what he needs, and she's like, shake.
Yeah. How is Harvey Wallbanger one word?
Brilliant.
Yeah. And not salt, that's too salty.
Yeah. Oh, that's too salty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, it's just fantastic. I mean, like, it's like kind of go back to the point that you made about her at the start Yeah. Trying to sort of blend in, but sounding out like a sore thumb. I do at least enjoy that she has some kind of acknowledgement that she should probably be like trying to blend in. Whereas the doctor's just like wandering around in his...
Yeah.
She's put an outfit on. He's just in a suit being like, don't matter.
Yeah.
But she's like actually trying to make the effort.
Exactly. And
to feel like they belong.
And, you know, using the magnifying glass... And all of that stuff. I don't know. I just also feel like there's no reason why this episode is. And you know, this is a fan favorite. And again, it's like, I ask why. Again, everyone has their own opinion. Of course, I totally believe everyone has their own opinion. But again, I ask why.
But you're wrong.
Why? I just feel like the Doctor's not on form here, except for like little bits. Again, it's just little bits and bobs. It's not coming together. Like there's bits where it's like, you know, again in the drawing room with the interrogation, perfect, very doctory, very very doctory. But then you get other bits where it's just like, ugh.
Yeah,
it's just flat. It's just flat. You know,
it is. I recommend that if people like this. I mean, I don't like it, and I like what I'm about to recommend, so maybe not. But if you like the vibe, watch the Fifth Doctor story, Black Orchid. It's a two-parter, so it's like the same length as like an episode of Modern Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. They're like, you know, in the '20s, go to like a country estate, and there's the sort of lady of the house looks exactly like Nyssa. So there's like fun doubling up stuff, and there's like a mystery about, you know, one of their children being kept in a secret room. It's all very fun.
That
it's like
fun.
You know, it's not sci-fi at all. It's literally just like a, you know, it feels more like Doctor Who doing an Agatha Christie type book than this does.
Fair. Well, there you
in
go.
In my opinion, you also get as well to see the Fifth Doctor actually put his cricket outfit to use by playing cricket.
Oh, amazing! Oh, amazing!
There is like a 5-minute scene where you're just watching Peter Davison play cricket.
I'm here for it. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's good. It's good
that
fun.
That sounds great.
Recommend highly. Black Orchid from season 19. Could be bought on DVD or as part of the season 19 Blu-ray collector's box set, which came out in 2019. Please fund us.
Hashtag not spawn.
Hashtag please send me them in the post all the time.
Kidding. Also, not really.
Funny.
Unlike this episode. It's just one of those things where it's like when you look at the episode as a whole, I'm remembering quotes, I'm remembering funny lines. I'm not actually the story itself. I'm just like,
yeah, literally that is all. I'm just remembering, yeah, the funny bits.
And also, I don't know if this is trying to be so. This specific bit I'm about to talk about. So obviously with the priest, I forget his name. Don't care.
I'll find it.
AKA the Vesper form. When he's transforming in the church. I don't know if that's trying to be serious or funny. I guess that's kind of...
Reverend Golightly, which also is a good name, to be fair.
That's actually a really good name.
Yeah, no, I can't, because it plays it kind of sinister.
Yeah, but then you've got the pink lighting coming through and just the zzzz,
and, yeah.
Zzzz, and it's like,
yeah, and like,
okay.
There's no other sound other than just a man standing there in a church going zzzz. It's very bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's actually really uncomfortable.
Graham Harper, not your best work.
Yeah. I mean, I love Graham Harper. You know this. We love him. He's like my favourite. I'd say he's my favourite director of the show that's existed, personally.
But
I just think he was working with shit, unfortunately. There you go.
Yeah.
I just can't help it, okay? When somebody who is as horrific as that man is working behind something, again, it's kind of like... And some people may say, why are you making this a topic of conversation? It's important. It is important. You know, it's unlike with Harry Potter. Like, I still love Harry Potter as a story, and I rewatch the films at Christmas. That you can't take that away from me. That's something that I love to do. But
Miriam Margolyes would like to have a word with you.
Yeah, Miriam Margolyes would like to have a word with me, because we need to get over that now. We need
it's
to get over it.
One of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen.
It's very funny. But I just think also... It's like, I can't help now. When I look at Harry Potter, it is tarnished for me now. I can't help that. Like, I don't buy the merch anymore. I don't support it in any other way. Like, you know, in terms of like... Because I have the DVDs. I bought them years ago. So I just, you know, watch them on DVD or whatever. But it's like, I just personally, like, it's tarnished for me. And I can't help that. And that's how I feel about this episode, you know?
But it's such public knowledge as well, though, that I just think, like, you know, it's not a secret, you know, what J.K. Rowling's up to.
Yeah, it's not a secret.
And I just, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm not going to speak for an entire community, but I know, you know, I know trans people. I have trans friends, you know, who see people wearing silly, goofy little bits of Harry Potter merch.
Yeah.
And they don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, and that's...
Because at the very least, it's a sign of implicit not caring.
Kind of, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you know, it's not that, you know, they're all merched up with Harry Potter stuff and they're going to go out and, you know, attack trans people, but it at least means that on some fundamental level, they don't care. The love of their product overtakes the care that they have for the dignity and humanity of other human beings.
Yeah, like I have.
And it's like this, if people still want to be like, this is my favourite episode, okay, fine. I mean, it's dog shit, but also, you know, you're sort of putting the, you know, the importance of what you like above the importance of an entire group of people.
Yeah, I really do have trouble separating it. You know, like I said, I loved Harry Potter and I still love the story. But like, and I used to own a lot of merch. I'm not saying get rid of all your merch. Please don't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not allowed to still enjoy Harry Potter. But it's like, I used to have a Platform 9 and 3/4 badge on my bag when I used to go to work. And then when all this stuff happened, I took it off because I didn't want anyone thinking that I was in. Because you can't help but think, oh, I'm low-key in solidarity with this thing now, you know?
Yeah. So silence is violence.
Silence is violence. And then also, in more ways than one, with many different things. But also, it's like, yeah, I just think people need to be very aware. Like, you know, if you're reviewing something, and this isn't me shading anybody, by the way. Get a life. If I wanted to shade someone, I'd fucking say your name and I'd say it. With
I was going to say, to be fair, I haven't seen anybody. Like, yeah.
So. No, not at all. But like, if you're going to ever like review it or talk about it, I think definitely it's something you need to bring up and it's part of the conversation. I think these things are part of the conversation.
Yeah, opinion. Absolutely. Because things, because we wouldn't, even if it was someone we like, you know, we wouldn't shy away from problematic things.
Okay, Stephen Moffat. Like, I really like Stephen Moffat, but he's done some really weird things.
Yeah,
you know.
How much we talk about? We talk about John Barrowman all the time. We talk about Noel Clarke. Like, you know, we're not averse to this.
Yeah, exactly.
And also as well, I will say, you know, I don't like, you know, I don't enjoy this episode, but also one of the things I really don't enjoy in it. Mostly because it just feels a bit like, oh, is actually, you referenced it when you were talking about the bit when Doctor's poisoned, is, you know, Donna doing that kind of, you know, with her hands and singing that line from Mammy. Well, you know, that's, you know, it's a song delivered by people in blackface, right? That's Al Jolson. That's, you know, like, and I don't know, there's just a level of like hearing that and just going, oh.
Yeah. I just think it's really important to bring things like this up and, you know, it's not out of character for us, like you've mentioned before.
We're also never going to get it right 100% of the time.
No, exactly. We're not, you know, we're not fountains of information. We just do our research where we can and even people like Stephen Moffat, like, again, I like Stephen quite a lot, but he has done some things in writing that we don't agree with. But also in his professional career, like The Unfriend, which has come back to the West End now as at the time of recording and at the time of putting the episode out. And a massive, massive, massive transphobe is in the play and still in the play. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Making a workplace comedy about being cancelled.
Yeah. Like,
you know.
Like, what are you doing?
Not good vibes, man.
Yeah, and I'm Mark Gatiss as well. That goes for Mark Gatiss as well.
Then it covers my opinion of other people though as well, right? Because it's like, you know, Karen Gillan doesn't need the work.
No.
But she's willingly in the show. And there's like a level of just going, you know, how much of that is an endorsement of the content of the script?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I will watch it when it comes out. Because you can't judge something before it comes out. But yeah, fucking terrible idea.
Sorry, that's a bit of a tangent, but it's an important conversation to bring up. It's an important thread that we continue on this podcast.
It's fun to say that Gareth Roberts looks like a sort of sweaty ball of pork that is horrible. But also sometimes you need to, you know, you also need to address actually why he's a terrible man.
Because if you go out of your way to look at a minority group and make them feel ostracized from society and like just be horrible, and because you're quite a reputable person in the industry and you have responsibility, if you're going to use your time in that way, then I think you're a piece of shit and I hate you. Just disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. I hate that man. Moving on. Back to the Wasp.
There's nothing else going on here, let's be real.
Let's be honest. I think this episode was trying to be tooth and claw, you know. I really do. I really feel like it was trying to be tooth and claw and just failing, because the thing is with tooth and claw, it went with it. It went there. Like, and it, that episode's not camp in any way, really. A little bit in places, because it's Doctor Who's camp, as we know. Hello? Hmm. Have you heard of her? but like, with that episode, it's like, you know, we're talking about Queen Victoria, and there was always this kind of like weird folklore around it, and they went with that. But like with this, it's like, I just, if you're going to do it, I need you to do it with vim, and I need you to come through, okay?
We're also lacking, you know, if it was a Rose episode, you know, she'd sit down with the unicorn and be like, you know, oh, what's happening, darling?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of hot girl chats, though, Donna and Donna and Agatha had a hot girl chat in the garden, which I was really, really into. You know how we feel about they hot do. Girl chats. You know, Donna is her hype woman, and I love that so much. Like,
and she won't stop giving her ideas.
Yeah.
For books.
It's great. Copyright Donna Noble.
Donna's copyright Donna Noble is our patreon.com/copyright.
Absolutely. 100%.
The Murder on the Orient Express. That does sound like terrible fun. Yeah, copyright Donna Noble.
So good. so good. And I honestly feel like I would say more, and we would say more, but we have to live our truth here. Like, there really isn't
much to talk about.
And I think, honestly, this may be one of our shortest episodes, guys. And I do apologise. I really do. And it's not on purpose. It's not.
No, I just, I like what, you know, I've said all I need to say about Gareth Roberts. I don't, you know, there's nothing really, you know, honestly, like, I've kind of done most with quotes. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, I think I just kind of zone out of it in the end, you know?
And I think also it just doesn't, this is one of those episodes where, like, we've spoken about this before, where we obviously rewatch this show all the time. I always skip this.
Yeah.
I skip it every
time.
Yeah,
I would never watch this on a rewatch.
It's just not for me. And that's okay. And it's not for you, and that's okay. And
sometimes you have those episodes where we don't watch them, but they're better than we think they are.
AKA Gridlock. The Gridlock effect.
Yeah, Tooth and Claw, like some of these ones that I are not high on my list of, I need to rewatch this, but when I do, I go, this is one that I go, I don't need to rewatch this, and I do, and I go,
oh dear. We'll say, though, I will say one last thing I want to...
Sorry, just, Elliot was doing a joke there, just for the visuals, patreon.com/podcast.
For fuck's sake! Then no one's going to subscribe, for God's sake.
They better. I'm the only one lending my hat to the visual medium here by doing jokes that only they can see.
True. Before we go into the wrap up, I just want to bring up something I do really love, though, and I actually really love the ending of this episode. I think it's really strong and really, really good. When they're in the TARDIS and the Doctor brings out the copy of
Death in the Clouds.
Death in the Clouds, that's it. And that really beautiful cover, that book cover is really nice. I think you can buy it, actually.
That is genuinely an edition of...
Yeah, it is.
Death in the Clouds, yeah. It's incredible.
Because I looked it up. And I think the way that all weaved together was really, really nice. That was really, really good. So here's what we're saying. Beginning and first half of this, really strong, really fun. I'm having a good time. The middle, just mess. A mess, meh, don't care. And then the end, really nice finish. It's like a weird circle of... No, it's a sandwich. It's a weird sandwich. A weird sandwich of things.
It's lovely, crusty, white farmhouse bread that can be sourced at places like Waitrose and M&S.
AKA, for anyone in the US, the Whole Foods of the UK.
Oh yeah, go to Trader Joe's. but the filling is just sort of like,
you know, that pate.
I can't think of
you
anything.
You know, the pate that you get that's really grey.
No, damn, because I don't buy a pate because I'm a man of the people.
No, you know the weird like sandwich I'm filling you get that's like you know. So am I, bitch. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. You do the kind of pate that you get.
You do the pate, you know, the foie gras, darling, foie gras. Anyway, it's fucking all, it's mid as fuck. Let's just move on.
Let me tell you, I once had a donut, like a vegan donut place, which is really nice. But they had like the fillings weren't bespoke.
Uh-huh.
It's like the flavors were.
Yeah.
But it was all this kind of like generic, like grey sludge filling. Ooh. That was like flavored, just like taste of something. It looked like tuna.
Oh.
Yeah, like it looked like I was eating a tuna donut. It looked like that one episode of SpongeBob and the Krabby Patties are just grey in the middle.
So
like,
what you're saying to me is this episode is the weird vegan donut you had that one time.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not me denigrating veganism. Vegans
are cool.
No, not
at all.
I like vegans.
No. Vegan donuts are sometimes better than actual donuts, like, genuinely.
Yeah. Many good places to get vegan food. There's just this one weird donut shop. Sold me a tuna donut.
A tuna-looking donut.
A tuna donut which tasted of orange and chocolate. Very bizarre.
Oh. Oh, God.
So,
anyway.
That's what this is.
What a mess. Anyway, God, we're at the wrap up. I nearly didn't roll my R, but I was like, nah, we need to inject some energy here. Anyway, this is where we talk about our standout moment, what didn't work, most doctory moment, best pronunciation, and favourite quote/quote. Elliot, my dear, as always, don't sigh, we're going to get through it together. Standout moment of this episode.
I think...
I know what my standout moment is of this podcast episode. You calling Gareth Roberts a thumb on Twitter and getting blocked. But that's a different story for another day. If you want us to go through it, we may talk about it on Patreon. Who knows? But
Patreon.com/Gareth Roberts.
What's your standout moment of the unicorn and the wasp?
I'm feeling extra miserly today.
Okay.
And I'm going to... flip what I normally do, which is where I'll say I haven't got a moment that doesn't work, it's just not quite 5 stars.
Okay.
I'm gonna say I haven't got a standout moment.
You don't? Okay, fair enough.
None of it stands out to me.
That's fine.
No,
that is absolutely couple of fine. Little.
There is one moment that I guess technically is a standout because I remember it from the episode, but yeah.
Live your truth. You don't have to put one in. It's like when we don't have a moment that didn't work. That's fine. You have to live your truth. I do. I have 10 being poisoned because it genuinely makes me fucking laugh. It's so funny.
It is very funny. I just had a feeling that was the one that was going to be chosen. I was like, eh.
Yeah, it's mainly because of David and Catherine, though, and their performance. Do you know what I mean?
And it's like the only good moment in the episode.
Yeah. I mean, again, I do love the interrogation scene, but this just slightly trumps that for me. Oh, hang on. I'm lying. No, hold on a minute. I have another standout moment, and it's not the interrogation scene. It's something in the interrogation scene.
What?
It's what? I'm a mess today. Sorry. It's Donna eating popcorn and being me, just being channeling my energy. That's my energy to a T.
Nice. So I can see that.
So what didn't work for you then?
Again, I don't even really know if there's a moment like where I'm like, oh, that.
Speak your truth, babe. Please speak your truth. This is your time
like,
to speak your truth.
I don't think there's. I can't pin it. It just fucking bores me.
Yeah.
A moment that didn't work. Gareth Roberts.
Yeah. And you know what, babe? I'm gonna join you here because I don't have one either. It's a mishmash. I mean, if I had to put one, it's not Midsummer Murders enough. Like, if you're going to go there, just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it.
Do it.
But anyway, most doctory moment then. Mine is very... I think there's a very obvious answer here. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't know. Does he eat the? He tastes the goop off the sting.
I remember it. Yep.
Because I'm remembering that happening in my head, and I feel like it's that.
Yeah, definitely. Sensory boy comes back. We have sensory boy back.
Just a little.
Oh my god, that was some ASMR. Disgusting. Disgusting.
People might like ASMR.
No, but that no one needs to hear that.
People might like it.
Well, I'm going to keep it in, so you're welcome. If you did like that.
Good. Audio caramel.
Caramel.
Oh, God, Daryl, what was your almost dog free moment?
For me, it's the 10th Doctor fangirling over Agatha Christie, because that is so, so good. It's so good.
And of course, brings us all full circle for the oh, Agatha Christie, I'd love to meet her, but she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, don't. Now I'm just thinking of, a good episode. Oh, wow. Anyway.
Yeah, this is us getting out, I'll tell you that.
This is us getting the fuck out of here. God. Elliot, best pronunciation. I've got two.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
No, you do have one. You do. Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah, I don't. It's
Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah.
You have to have something. Probably... You can't just have nothing for all of these. Come on.
Nothing for all of them. No, but I suppose it probably would be Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah.
Also, I did have I had a doctory moment. Fuck you.
I mean, you did, but...
Yeah. No, you did. It's not as good as mine.
True.
I wanted to say, fuck you, but you can't say that.
If Miriam Margolyes was in this episode, it would just be perfect, wouldn't it?
It would be so good. Yeah, I feel like the only word that is coming to mind is him going, Harvey Wallbanger. It just doesn't feel, as strong as that could be.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Mine is Harvey Wallbanger, but also this has one of the most iconic... In his whole tenure as a doctor, he has one of the most iconic wells in this episode. So I put that down.
It's very deep.
Very
lots
deep.
Water.
Favorite quote then?
Honestly, it's annoying because I think I kind of said them all. But for me, the one that tickles me the most is the Agatha Christie introducing herself. Just the way she's just like, oh, Agatha Christie. And I love the way that Catherine Tate goes, what about her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good line of dialogue, actually. I really like that.
It is. It's very fun, very pithy.
Yeah.
And it gets me a chuckle, mostly because of the way that Catherine Tate goes, what about her?
Yeah, it's so good.
What about her? What about you? What is your favourite quote?
I have two. Shockingly. So my first one is when... Donna says, oh, come on. It's not like we could drive across country and find Enid Blyton having tea with Noddy. Could we? Noddy's not real. Is he? Tell me there's no Noddy.
Yeah. She buys into that quite a lot. I could just hear.
So good.
Yeah.
And then my second one was the doctor saying, right then, solving a murder mystery of Agatha Christie. Brilliant. And then she says, how like a man to have fun while there's disaster all around him. Brilliant.
It's very true.
Fuck men, am I right? Fuck men. Fuck Gareth Roberts.
No, no. If you're a man, we tolerate you.
Yep. Hey, Alexa. Alexa, play Boys by Charlie XCX. We love men here.
Yeah, don't know what that is, but yeah. that was just a collection of words.
Oh,
again,
my
I know her name.
God.
I couldn't tell you what she looks like or any of her songs.
Anyway, Elliot, I've got one last important question for you, and that is, what are you giving The Unicorn on the Wasp out of 5?
I don't know. because I don't just want to be like really fucking harsh about it.
Yeah.
But when I think about this episode in my mind's eye, it's not that it's terrible from the ground up.
No, exactly.
But I really feel nothing when I come away from it.
Yeah.
And I never, ever have it in my mind as something I want to watch.
Yeah.
And it means I'm conflicted between, do I do the sensible thing and say, because it's not basically unwatchable, it's 2 stars?
Mm.
Or do I just say, 1, get it over and done with? I think I'd go the Shakespeare Code of 1 star.
You did.
I don't know.
What's your gut telling you?
As soon as you said it, my gut just said fucking 1.
It's a 1 then. That's what it is. As of right now, as of recording in 2024, it's a 1 for you.
Normally it has to be embarrassingly bad, but I think I'm quite happy to not give Gareth Roberts the benefit of the doubt on anything.
So there you go.
And the only 2 episodes we've looked at of him, one star.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. So everything you just said, the explanation of how you felt about the episode is exactly how I feel.
But you're going to give it a 3.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm giving it a 2.5. I'm giving it a 2.5. Because genuinely, the first half of this is good. And I think we need to give, I need to give it that merit at least and speak my truth.
I don't think it deserves the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, in hindsight, now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably more of a two.
You got to go with your gut, man.
No, I'll give it a two. That's my gut then, actually. No, no, I've got to go with, I've got to preach what I've got to practice what I preach, and I'm going to give it a two.
Papa, don't preach.
So it's a 2 out of 5 from me, a 1 out of 5 from you. That's been Come Along Pond. Fuck transphobes and fuck all anyone who agrees with them. Trans rights
roll
people.
Credits. Well, and that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. We hope you had fun. We sure did, although not really. If you like what you heard and you want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. You may have heard of it. If you give even to our basic tier, you can have a shout out on the show, like River, like Jason, like Becca Judson Smith, like David Cummings, like Lucy, like Calvin, like Felicity Scott and Riley, like Anna Plant Clover. Sorry if I read that wrong. Jess Williams, Bumping Ernie, Lucy, Joe Dawson, Stephanie Bex, Michelle Whitney, Ian French, Susie Williams, and Beth McLeod. Again, sorry if I read that wrong. All those people are pledging us on different amounts. If you want to see visual accompaniments to the show, you can do that. If you want to listen to it ad-free, you can do that. If you just want your name read out, you can do that. We would love you endlessly. It helps keep the lights on and keep the show going and potential other endeavours. However, don't want a repeated standing charge? That's fine. Our Ko-fi's actually working. You can make a one-off donation to give us the price of a cup of coffee over there. Ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. It's actually working now, so please take full advantage of it. Please give us money. Kidding. But if you want to support us in another way, you can always just send us an email, comealongpondpod@gmail.com. If you want to be cool, like Alice, like Hannah, and like Jacob, we do read every single email, and we will read them out on the show eventually. Be patient, but we will. If you want to send us funny things about vapes, do it. However, we've got a veritable smorgasbord of other social medias you can get in contact with us. We are over on TikTok. Not that that's really anything anymore because everything's silent, but you can go to TikTok.com/comealongpondpodcast. We've got the same artwork everywhere. You can't miss us. We post highlights and lowlights of the show. It's a fun way to get engaged, and you can probably argue with other people in the comments because that's what happens on TikTok. However, your one-stop shop to follow us. I'm talking reels. I'm talking polls. I'm talking announcements. I'm talking about getting over 7,000 followers and then dipping back down again. I'm talking about everything you need to know about the show. Oh, it's our Instagram. Come Along Pond podcast. We're over there. What could I even say about the Instagram? Probably a lot because it's my job. No. That is your one-stop shop. If you want updates about the show, you want to know when an episode's coming out, you want to know if an episode's been delayed, you want to know if we're going back to not being a bi-weekly schedule, you want information about other things that we might do, all of it's going to be happening on the Instagram. Come Along Pod podcast over there. Same artwork. Can't miss us. We've just managed to get over the hump of 7,000 followers, but you know, we'll probably dip back down by then. So please, if you don't follow us over there. Don't forget to rate and review the show 5 stars on Spotify and Apple. Leave a review if you can. It helps us get up the charts. But ultimately, thank you for being you.
Thank you so much for being you.
Thank you so much if you're listening to this, Sam.
Oh,
I don't know if they're
random.
Yeah, if you are called Sam, you're welcome.
You're so welcome. But honestly, yeah.
Enjoy listening to this on the 17th of April at 4 p.m. Sam.
No, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, guys. The continued support means a lot. We have some really exciting announcements coming in the next few weeks. Please stay tuned. You know, we love doing this and we want to do this more. So please, all of the things, that would be wonderful.
And yeah, and say, we're going to keep cracking on with series 4. We're going to get as far as we can before Shooty's new series starts airing. We're going to get on to doing that. And yeah, we're going to carry on then with series 4 on the other side of it. And the specials, 2024 is looking like it's the year of series 4. And Shooty's first series.
It's going to, honestly, this year is just going to be packed full of goodness. So,
yeah.
Come along. Anyway, Elliot, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you. It's been lovely chatting to you. And incidentally, it's been very lovely talking to all of you at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bzz, bzz, bye. Bye.
Hey, what's you talking about?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.